Welcome back, everyone, to our second episode on change. Welcome, Shay. Thanks for joining me again.
Thank you. Here for a change.
So in this episode, we are going to explore the impact of emerging tools and technologies on freelancing and how you need to kind of embrace them to stay ahead of the curve. You need to learn and integrate new skills. And I think let's kick off, Shay, by maybe share with us what tools you use, tools and technology you use in your business.
So I guess there's almost two types. There's the tools that help you do your actual job, which for me is writing. And then there are the tools that free up your time to do your job, you know, things like calendar bookings and productivity apps and that kind of thing. So things that help me do my job, and I guess a bit of the admin, is I'm all in on Google products. So, you know, Google Sheets and Google Docs and cloud sharing, et cetera, et cetera. That's probably, as a writer, one of my primary tools. Google itself, which is now also, you know, being augmented by Gen AI like ChatGPT, research tools like Perplexity, et cetera. And then, I mean, everything, there's an app for everything, which is true, and everything's also Googleable. So often I'll find myself tapping in, say, image to text converter, and there it is, or title case converter, there it is. So basically, I don't put any limits on what I think is out there. If there's something I need, and if I think there might be something that can do it quicker than I can, I'll put it out there. And generally, I find something to help me. Often, if I want the free version, you have to jump through a million sign-ins and then subject yourself to a couple of marketing emails, but still.
Yeah.
How about you?
You can unsubscribe at any time.
Indeed, and I do.
Grammarly is a big one for me. So I've got the Grammarly plugin. The only thing with Grammarly is, obviously, if you're it's lunchtime here in Johannesburg.
It is lunchtime, yes.
If you are writing in UK English, it's obviously not the optimal tool because it's a US-based
You can
tool.
Change it.
You can?
No, there's definitely a setting. I've got mine set to UK for sure.
Okay. Well, I work across the board. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. And then I tried Hemingway, which was, I didn't like the format of it. So that one went out the door pretty quickly. But what's good with Hemingway is that you can actually adjust the grade level that you're working. So if you've got clients like I do suddenly who are worried about flesh scores, Hemingway is a good way to like check your flesh score.
So for the non-writers out there, that's like a readability. It goes in sort of age grade levels from, I don't know, middle school level or whatever to university or graduate level, etc.
Yeah. So you should try writing a very, very technical case study that appeals to like third graders. It really dumbs down the content a lot, but the client wants what the client wants. So that's been pretty helpful from that perspective. And then ChatGPT is literally like, if I could get Elon Musk's brain chip with a 5G connection that was supposed to come with my COVID vaccine, obviously, and didn't. The latest version of ChatGPT, I would be one happy camper. Always connected to the internet and connected to a large language model. ChatGPT, I don't know how I managed to work without it before. And I've got a little surprise for you guys at the end of this. I'm going to show you how to churn out a 5-minute first draft of something. So it's a big time saver.
ChatGPT, I recently discovered GPT apps. Have you used them at all?
The ones that you can program yourself.
So you can program yourself or access apps that other people have programmed. So, you know, there's copy editors that people have programmed. So to save you having to do like serious prompting, there's an app for that. So something worth looking into, you'll see it on the left-hand side. It's called Explore GPTs. Worth having a look for whatever industry you're in, if there's something you can help that can help you.
Yeah. I was actually looking at developing an app, like an editing type of style guide.
Of course
app,
you were.
It seems like people can do that for free on ChatGPT now. So, yeah, that died a very sad, slow death. My dream
change. Yeah,
exactly.
It's inevitable, especially in this new AI-enabled world.
Yeah. It's very frustrating when you think you've had an idea and you've been sitting on that idea for about 5 years, and well, now it's too late. But anyway,
no, there's an app for everything. Sorry, all the apps have been invented. Whatever you're thinking of, it's already there. Move on. New career.
Yes. Well, so let's move on. Balancing tech adoption with productivity, because let's use ChatGPT as an example. I spend a lot of time trying to work out prompts to make myself more productive. And I'm all about optimization, all about productivity, all about cramming more work into less time so that I can make more money. But if you're using a tool for the first time, you are probably not going to be productive with it, because you have to figure out how it works. So that's my thing. You know, sometimes, especially working on very technical stuff and research, you have to really refine how you're asking the tool to do something. And that sometimes it's actually just quicker to do the research on Google or write the thing yourself, etc. So do you have a thing that was supposed to help you with productivity and it didn't, or something that has helped you become more productive?
So something for me personally is using productivity apps like Asana, etc. is great. I love using my clients' ones. When it comes to doing that for my own workflows, I find it's more work to actually input the stuff into Asana and make it all happen there, because I'm a one-person team. I think if you're working with multiple people, it helps to have everything in one place. But because it's just me, I kind of use my calendar to pop in my reminders and schedule my work, etc. Mm-hmm. So I could then spend, you know, an hour plotting my work on a beautiful Asana board, and that's an hour wasted that I'll never get back. So something like that as a one-person team, I don't find useful when it's just me.
Yeah. My business coach actually has a thing where we can track our goals. And I mean, we've done a whole thing on goal setting. I'm the worst goal setter, because I know that what I want to achieve sometime in the future, and every decision I make is kind of aiming towards that thing. But I don't really work backwards to find out like, oh, well, next week I should do X, Y, Z. But I find like goal setting software really, it's a waste of time for me, because I spend more time worrying about have I actually set the right goal instead of actually working towards it.
Working on the goal.
Because now I'm worried about like, well, now I have to fill out 50 fields on this online tool when I could actually just be doing something that's contributing to the productivity of achieving that thing.
It's one of my pet peeves, even back, you know, university days or school days, when people would spend hours and hours and hours creating these beautiful exam notes. And it's like, cool, when are you actually going to learn the content? I love your highlighting, looks great, but I don't know if this is actually helping you. I mean, it does help, I guess, to write things out, but yeah, it's always been a pet peeve of mine.
So you and I probably wouldn't have been friends then, because all of my study notes were meticulously designed with pictures of Snoopy and Garfield, and
that sounds like a great procrastination technique.
I used to play piano as well, and my mom gave me a whole like childhood dump of old things, and I was like, no wonder I still can't play the piano, because I used to color in all the pictures in the music book. So you can. I think that's also like adopting tech. You need to be very careful about, using it as a subconscious way to waste your time and something you don't have.
It's akin to cleaning your office when you have an important deadline.
Yes. Yeah. We have to clean the drawers now, because I cannot concentrate until I've done my filing that I haven't done for 5 years. Speaking of, I would like to share with you guys, and I think that this will probably work for the video guys more than the listening guys. So I'll try and explain what I'm doing along the way, and hopefully it works.
All two of you listeners. I don't get it.
And yeah, so I'm going to show you. I write a lot of case studies, and I have refined my first draft down to about 5 minutes. We shouldn't obviously be using ChatGPT and copy-pasting whatever it spits out, but if you can get the first draft done a lot quicker, you can spend more time on the research side. So I'm going to show you what I do. So I assume you can see my screen. Mm-hmm. So what I did, what I did was I put together, well, the way my case studies work is I usually interview somebody and we follow a set guideline of questions. So what I've done is I've asked ChatGPT to create a transcript of a call for a technical, I think I used wind turbines. So what we're going to do is I'm going to chuck that into ChatGPT. Oops.
Well, there goes 1 minute wasted.
Sorry. this is a resource. Cool. And then I'm going to upload, I've put together a template for a basic technical case study. Using this template,
FYI, you've just changed my life. Although I've always seen the little paperclip, I've never actually uploaded something. I've always copy-pasted. So.
Oh, you can actually just drag it across as well.
This is life-changing.
Yeah. Using the template, extract the relevant information and give me a first draft. Please excuse my typing. It's because people are watching
but
now.
What I love about ChatGPT is it always understands you. I just type such nonsense. You know, like when you're doing a Google search and it just looks like blah, 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 and it somehow works out what you want. So does that template just include sort of your headings that you would include, or what other instructions are on that template?
So it's super basic. I've got a whole bunch of them that I use for different clients because they have different ways of having their case studies written out, etc. So this one is kind of super basic. It's the traditional challenge, solution, and results of a case study. And I've just kind of briefed in exactly what I'm looking for in each section here. So here it is. There's the challenge. It's outlining us. We are apparently a co-working space provider. There's the method that we use, the solution, the technical specifications of the solution, and then the results that were generated. And it's even pulled a client testimonial from the
interview,
the transcript. It doesn't stop there. I have a little resource of prompts. So, for example, if we want to make it an anonymous case study, you can put a prompt in like that. If we want to kind of rework the technical stuff into a table, creating tables in ChatGPT is like fantastic.
Oh, amazing.
And of course, now ChatGPT would get stuck while I'm showing you this amazing thing. And then, the final thing that I want to show you, and this will change your life, is it's a prompt called recursion. So what you're doing is you're telling ChatGPT to follow a certain number of steps. So step one, identify 1 to 3 informative entities that are missing from the previous generated version of the article. And step two, write a newer, denser version of the article with the missing entities. And then kind of outlining what an entity is. It needs to be relevant, needs to be specific. It needs to be not in the previous version. Needs to be present in the resources, obviously, and then a couple of other guidelines regarding word counts, making space by compression and fusion, etc., and making sure that the tone is aligned with the target audience. And yeah, so this is super, super helpful if you are doing like what I do and running like hour, 2 hour interviews with people. And you don't have to now manually go and try and find all of that information in the transcript. ChatGPT can do it all for you. But what's quite nice about this particular prompt as well is because you've outlined the specific steps, if you don't like what it's done in here or there's information that you feel is missing, your next prompt can be repeat steps 1 and 2 again, and you can do that kind of indefinitely. There's my first draft, and from there, I will take this and add in additional entities that I've researched on the back end. So, yes, that's
amazing. That is genius level prompt crafting. And I think we're going to talk about this in an upcoming episode, but additional income streams and diversifying your business, etc. Just saying,
yeah.
There's a market out there for people like you at the moment.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you have to embrace the tech. I would never copy paste that and send that off to a client because you do need to fact check. That GPT and AI tools still hallucinate and make shit up. But it's a real time saver to get that first draft churned out so quickly. I hope that was helpful.
Amazing. Well done. I hope everyone better have stayed on. I know this is getting onto a longer short, but if you missed that, you've missed out completely.
Yeah. What AI tools? Well, what tools in general do you use? What tech do you use? What's your tech stack, to use the jargon? Tell us in the comments if you want more live demos or anything like that. If you have a specific tool you want information on, please pop us a question, and we'll be happy to answer where we can. Subscribe, and see you in the next episode.
Thank you.